Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here, we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, really cold temperatures have arrived in Georgia. SNAP recipients may start receiving some of their monthly benefits, and the U.S. Supreme Court rejects a call to re-examine marriage equality. Advocates are praising the decision.
This is the response that many of us were hopeful for. This is really settled law. It was a very weak case to begin with.
Today is Monday, November 10th. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. Georgia recipients of federal food aid should begin seeing some of their monthly benefits tomorrow. That's according to the Georgia Department of Human Services, which administers the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, for the state. In a press release, DHS says people whose normal benefit release dates already have passed can expect up to 65% of their normal benefit, following guidance from the federal government. The Trump administration is still fighting in court any shutdown-related release of food aid. Close to 1.5 million Georgians are enrolled in SNAP. A state program designed to get people to a point where they no longer need food assistance is still managing a delay in funding as Congress works toward an end to the federal government shutdown. GPB's Sophie Gratis reports.
She's not breathing.
Kenesha Ward is learning CPR on a plastic mannequin.
13, 14, 15.
It's part of her training program at the Goodwill Career Center in Decatur under Georgia's SNAP Works program. In 2 months, Ward can get a job in welding, and while in classes, she's also eligible for SNAP.
I mean, that's how I feed me and my kid. I'm just hoping and praying that, you know, nothing messes this up for me, because this is my way out for me and my son.
Under the shutdown, Goodwill of North Georgia is using its own money to foot the bill for SNAP Works. Meanwhile, as of this month, new rules expand who has to meet monthly work requirements to be eligible for SNAP, meaning more applications to career centers like this. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gratis.
People across Georgia are waking up this week to unusually early cold temperatures, dipping into the 20s in much of the state. GPB's Chase McGee has more on the rare event.
This sudden burst of cold Arctic air will also bring the state's growing season to a screeching halt, as below-freezing temperatures reach far into South Georgia. Pam Knox is an extension climatologist at the University of Georgia. She says some hardy crops like broccoli could survive, but others aren't used to freezing temperatures this early in the year.
Farmers that have things out there that are still growing, like tomatoes or other tender vegetables especially, are going to have to bring those in, or they're going to have to cover them or something.
Experts are also asking people to remember the three P's, meaning pets, plants, and pipes. Temperatures will gradually warm later in the week. For GPB News, I'm Chase McGee.
A light snow dusted higher elevations in Georgia today, and most of the state remains under a freeze warning as the season's first cold blast settles in. GPB's Amanda Andrews has more on the official response in the state capitol.
The city of Atlanta will have two emergency warming shelters at Old Adamsville and Central Park Recreation Centers. Transportation will be available from Gateway Center starting at 8 p.m. Frontline Response will open their warming shelter at 6:30 p.m. in partnership with DeKalb County and the city of Decatur. CEO Terry Tucker says they offer transportation for people who can't get to the shelter.
So we have about 6 or 7 vans that we send out starting at about 5 o'clock, and they're out till about 1 a.m. And they go look at places where unhoused people tend to be. And we bring them in.
Frontline is offering food, clothing, and showers to individuals at the warming center. For GPB News, I'm Amanda Andrews.
A Georgia advocate for same-sex marriage rights is praising a U.S. Supreme Court decision today that rejects a call to overturn its ruling legalizing it. The justices declined to hear an appeal from a former Kentucky court clerk who refused to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples after the court's 2015 ruling. Jeff Graham of Georgia Equality calls the decision a cause for celebration.
This is the response that many of us were hopeful for. This is really settled law. It was a very weak case to begin with.
A University of California report estimates there are about 22,000 same-sex married couples in Georgia. Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones and former Georgia Republican Party Chairman David Schaefer are among those receiving a largely symbolic pardon from President Trump today. The president signed an order pardoning dozens of people accused of backing his efforts to overturn the 2020 election in states across the country, including in Georgia. But presidential pardons only cover federal charges, and none of those pardoned today were charged federally. Jones, now running for the Republican gubernatorial nomination, also was never charged in the Georgia prosecution alleging election interference. That prosecution, started by Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis and including Schaefer and others, faces a critical deadline on Thursday. That's when a judge has ordered the Prosecuting Attorney's Council of Georgia to either appoint a replacement for Willis, who was removed from the case, or he will dismiss the entire indictment. The council's executive director, Pete Scandalakis, said today his task remains unchanged. His statement gave no hint as to whether an appointment replacing Willis will be made. A South Korean solar company says it will temporarily reduce pay and working hours for about 1,000 of its 3,000 employees in Georgia. Qcells says the action is because U.S. customs officials have been detaining important components for solar panels. Qcells also announced Friday that it'll lay off 300 workers from staffing agencies at its plants in Dalton and Cartersville. U.S. Customs and Border Protection has been impounding Qcells components on suspicion that they contain materials made with forced labor in China. Qcells says none of its components are made with forced labor or come from China. The company says some shipments have been released and it plans to resume full production. For Veterans Day tomorrow, military personnel and their families can use their IDs for discounts at retail stores and restaurants across Georgia. Publix, Academy Sports, and Tractor Supply are all offering 10% off purchases made on Veterans Day. Certain sit-down restaurants like Chili's, Applebee's, and Cracker Barrel are offering benefits like free entrees for veterans. Starbucks and Scooter's Coffee are also offering free drinks. You can find more at the American Legion's website, legion.org. A federally sponsored Atlanta-based bank that provides credit to other banks to support housing initiatives has announced its 2025 awards. The Federal Home Loan Bank of Atlanta said last week that six Georgia projects would receive a total of $6.4 million in grants. The projects will fund 357 affordable units in communities including Dublin, Thomasville, and Atlanta. The Fox Theater's philanthropic arm is awarding $500,000 to eight theaters across Georgia. Fox Gives said today the grants will help the cultural landmarks improve their physical spaces while driving local growth in the arts. The awards include the Ritz Theater in Brunswick, the DeSoto Theater in Rome, and Springer Opera House in Columbus. The Atlanta music icons of Outkast have been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The duo, made up of Andre 3000 and Big Boy, were honored at a ceremony in Los Angeles on Saturday, alongside more than a dozen other well-known names in music. Accepting the recognition, Andre 3000 thanked the late Atlanta producer Rico Wade and the Dungeon Family, the Atlanta collective that launched their careers.
We talk about the music a lot, but a lot of times it's a lot more than just the notes or the instruments that you're playing. It's everybody that's around you. It's the family, and this is my family.
Big Boy had this to say.
We love all y'all, and I want to say special to my brother right here, man. Thank you for making me be the best I can be, man, and going toe-to-toe on the records and iron sharpen iron just to be the best, man. Ain't nothing but pressure. Love you, man. Love you, man.
Actor and musician Donald Glover, also known as Childish Gambino, introduced Outkast, saying the group didn't just represent the South, quote, they redefined it. The ceremony included performances of Outkast's hits by Janelle Monáe, Tyler, the Creator, and Big Boy himself.
Okay, now fellas, yeah. What's up? What's cooler than being cool? No, I can't hear y'all say, what's cooler than being cool?
A toxic fire, a plume of smoke, and a community demanding answers. In Conyers, Georgia, the biolab disaster left residents searching for truth and accountability. This season, GPB uncovers system failures, hears from whistleblowers, and follows neighbors still fighting to be heard. I'm Pamela Kirkland. Join me for season two of Manufacturing Danger, the Biolab Story. Listen now at gpb.org/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Basketball legend Lenny Wilkins passed away yesterday at the age of 88. Wilkins coached the Americans to gold at the Atlanta Olympic Games in 1996. He also coached the Atlanta Hawks for much of the 1990s and was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame three times. For more on how he will be remembered in Georgia, we turn to GPB's Jeff Hollinger. Jeff, thanks for speaking with me.
It is a pleasure. Lenny Wilkins had a storied career, one of the great careers, not only in the history of the National Basketball Association, but certainly in American sport. One of the great, great, amazing careers of the 20th century, not only for his accomplishment as a player, as a coach, but also for his longevity and his relevance to basketball. It's very hard to stay relevant in professional sports or collegiate sports or any form of American pop culture. And Lenny Wilkins was able to do that for decades.
Well, what do you think made him such a good coach?
You know, great players generally are not very patient, and they don't make very good head coaches. You know, whether, you know, Larry Bird was an okay head coach, I suppose, and Bill Russell did a good job, too. But for the most part, great players do not make great coaches. Lenny Wilkins was a great, great player and a great defensive player who found himself on the all, you know, 50-year NBA team, I think, in 1996, and the all 75-year team. Lenny Wilkins was famous not for his ability to light up the box scores, but he was a defensive player, the best of his generation. He was a marvel as far as leadership, as far as defense. And to be a great defensive player, you have to be patient and you have to focus on those small things that equate to big things in basketball.
Well, he won gold at the Olympics. What can you tell us about how he managed to pull that off?
Well, he had great players. Look, come on. I mean, I always look at that and go, okay, great. You know, he also was part of the Dream Team as an assistant coach. But, you know, you put together Michael Jordan and Magic and Bird and all those guys, Isaiah Thomas of that era. I mean, Serbia and Italy and Spain are going to have a very hard time keeping up. And that's sort of the defining element of that. I mean, we're overwhelmed in the Olympics.
What about the trade of Dominique Wilkins while Lenny Wilkins, no relation, was head coach of the Hawks? I mean, that seems to have followed him throughout his career afterwards.
Yeah, that's been something that's always hung over his head, Peter, here in Atlanta. And look, in Lenny Wilkins' first year here, they won 57 games. And Dominique was coming toward the end of his career. And it was a trade that, looking back on it, probably the Hawks should not have made, but I've never believed it to be as cataclysmic of a trade as many will have you believe. You know, at that point in his career, Wilkins, Dominique, and Danny Manning were not significantly different. Manning obviously didn't want to be here. It didn't work out. But Neek was near the end of his career. So it's not like you were getting rid of Dominique in 1988 or 89. By the time they were constituting this deal, you know, things had really changed, you know, that his skills had begun to erode.
And what about his legacy outside basketball?
He spoke to teams about the complexity of race. He had been touched by race, like many African-American men and women. His father was African-American who died when he was five, and his mother was an Irish-American woman. And he found himself, you know, navigating America. And it was a great challenge, and it was something that he spoke eloquently about. He was an extraordinary man. He was amazing. He was really an impactful man in terms of community, above and beyond basketball. I mean, look, here's a guy who grew up in Brooklyn, right? And he didn't seem to have any athletic skill to begin his life, and he quit to become working at a grocery store in Brooklyn, and he was delivering groceries to the immortal Jackie Robinson. So it's interesting how these great human beings were able to essentially connect in a very small place of Brooklyn. And I think it illustrates the life and times of Lenny Wilkins. He was a very devout Catholic. You know, we always heard about him going to Mass off Peachtree at the cathedral, lived at Park Place right across the street on Peachtree Street as well. You know, he was an unforgettable figure. He truly was.
Well, GPB's Jeff Hollinger, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts on him.
My pleasure.
And that is a wrap on this edition of Georgia Today. Thank you so much for tuning in, and please do come back tomorrow when you subscribe to this podcast. Makes remembering to come back very easy. You'll be subscribed and it'll pop up in your feed automatically. If you've got feedback for this podcast, or maybe you've got a story you think we should be pursuing, send it our way by email. Your email will go to the whole team when you send it to georgiatoday@gpb.org. And don't forget, we've got all our stories at our website, so check out gpb.org/news. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks again for listening. Hope you had a great Monday, and we'll see you tomorrow.